All right, let's look in our Bibles in the book of Psalms, book of Psalms, chapter number 1. I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, A Planted Christian, A Planted Christian, out of Psalm chapter number 1. As you're turning there, just a very quick announcement for those men that are going on the prayer vans. Please remember the bus will be leaving at 3 a.m. sharp, so try and be here around, you know, a few minutes early, 15, 20 minutes early. So we will be heading out right at 3 o'clock this morning. That's exactly how I feel. I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Planted Christian. I actually did a short devotion on this last week during our staff devotion. So if you were there, please don't leave. The Lord gave me, you know, so much more out of that. And so, you know, I just kind of, you know, took that devotion time and God just kept giving me things. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you tonight from Psalm chapter 1. Just want to read two verses, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And verse number 3 is what we'll be looking at tonight. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a great psalm of encouragement, a great psalm of kind of like a guidance to the Christian. And you know, as I was reading through this, the phrase that really jumped out of the page at me was that phrase, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, as I thought through this, God continued to give me more and more things about it because I thought of this idea of the picture that David, as he writes this, and the picture that God wants us to see is this picture of this tree being planted by the rivers of water. Now, as I've shared with you many times before, I do not have a green thumb. I know nothing about any kind of planting or anything like that, but I know enough to know that when you plant by, you know, a place that has fertile soil and has water readily accessible, that tree is going to flourish. And so as I read through this, I thought, man, you know, there are so many correlations that we can take from that one little phrase that we can apply to our lives. That word planted really translated means established or fixed. And, you know, as a Christian, there are things that God wants us to be fixed on and established on. You know, oftentimes, you know, as a Christian, we kind of stumble and we kind of, you know, wander around, not exactly sure which way to turn or which way to go. And the reality of it is God wants us fixed on him. He wants us established. He gives us the word of God that we can stand upon. You know, we sang that standing on the promises of God, and God has given us so many assurances. And yet at times we just live our life kind of wandering about, unsure, unclear, anxious, worried. And God really doesn't want us to live that way. And so we're going to look at some correlations here between this tree that's planted by the rivers of water and the Christian life and the process of the Christian life as we go through this. Oftentimes, one of the most important things before we get into this is where we plant. Now, in the psalm, he says, planted by the rivers of water. Oftentimes, we as Christians do plant our roots. The problem is we're planting them in all the wrong places. We plant them in all the wrong places. We plant them in places where we won't flourish, where we won't be firmly established. And so, you know, when we do that, what happens? We stumble, we fall, and we find ourselves in trouble. So let's look at some of these correlations between this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at a lot of verses today. Some of them I'll read from the Bible. Other ones I'll just give them as reference, and you can look them up. I was kidding around with Dave earlier. I said, oh, don't worry, Dave. He said to me, you got 10 minutes, Pastor, we're done. I said, no worries. Got to be on that bus at 3 a.m., so every minute of rest counts. So I kidded around with him. I said, I have 7-point message tonight. He chuckled, and I actually do, but they'll be quick, I promise. So here's the first one. The first thing that you notice with a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and always think of these things in light of the Christian life, is we need to be firmly rooted. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, one of the most important things when planting any new shrub or bush or tree or anything is that you plant it firmly. You know, if you plant it in very shallow ground, what's going to happen? It's not going to take, it's going to fall, and it will die. So it needs to be firmly rooted. Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we need to be firmly rooted. And in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul gives us some warnings that we need to be careful. If we're going to be firmly rooted, there's a few things we need to be careful of. The first thing he talks about, okay, is that we not be tossed to and fro. Okay, that picture of being tossed to and fro is kind of like a ship in stormy waters. If you've ever seen a ship in the ocean when there's a storm, it's just being tossed around back and forth. It's really very, very, very difficult to control. That's the picture he wants us to have. And he doesn't desire for us to be tossed around like that as Christians. He says, be careful. What's the first thing? Tossed about with what? The wind of doctrine. What is the wind of doctrine? The wind of doctrine is false doctrine. That's what it is. Listen, there are many, many things today that are, what's the nice way of putting this, that are having Christians fall by the wayside because of listening to things that sound good, look good, appear good, and are false doctrine. I had a conversation with someone over the weekend, not saved, but someone who, you know, is in a position of questioning. They're asking questions, and every opportunity I get, you know, I witness to them. And they said, oh, I was watching this preacher on TV. I said, okay. I said, that's a move in the right direction. Then they told me who it was, and that's a move in the wrong direction. Now, I'm not going to mention it because I don't, as Christians, I don't think we should run one another down. But however, this particular person, for someone who doesn't know, appears to be everything that a good Christian should be. And I was trying to be gracious because I didn't want to discourage the person. And I said, be careful. I said, be careful because there are some things in there that are not from the Bible. And that is how the devil works. See, there's a little bit of doctrine and a little bit of lies all sprinkled together. And when they're all mixed together, it's very hard to tell what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's not real, what's truth and what's a lie. And the devil today, more so than ever, it's amazing to me. I have conversations with people all the time. You know, we use our school as a means of reaching a lot of people who don't know Christ as their Savior. And it's amazing how many questions come up and people will ask me, well, what about this that it says in the Bible? And so many times I say, you know, it doesn't really say that. It says something like that, but something like that is not the truth. And that's how the devil works. The devil works by, you know, if we as Christians are not firmly rooted in what we believe, guess what? We're going to be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. If something sounds good, hey, you know, many, many good people have been led astray because of a author who said, hey, I got this great new book, great new plan on how to do this and how to do that. And people fall in love with it, and then the next thing you know, that becomes their Bible, and the Bible no longer holds the authority in their life. Be careful. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. We need to be firmly rooted in what we believe. We don't want to be tossed, and Paul here gives a warning. You don't want to go with every wind of doctrine. He says you don't want to go with every sleight of men. That's the next point, sleight of men. Wind of doctrine is false doctrine. Sleight of men is false teachers. Is false teachers. In Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter number 20, and in verse number 30, Acts 20 and in verse 30, the Bible says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. What does he say? Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Wow. Paul understood, listen, for 3 years, I didn't stop warning you. And not just warning you with tears, imploring, begging, be careful. Be careful. There is nothing more heartbreaking than to see someone fall by the wayside because they're led astray by someone who sounds good and, you know, is very charismatic and is very, you know, personable.
Be careful.
I'm not saying that everyone that is personable and charismatic is a false teacher. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But be careful of a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because that's how the devil works. The devil's not coming saying, hey, here it comes, false teacher right here. Everybody listen, false teacher. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Oh, you know, that Bible's a little outdated. We just modernized it. We made it, here's a good one. We made it easier to understand. It makes me laugh because people can read ancient literature written in the same style and not have a problem understanding it. But they read the Bible and all of a sudden it's like, you know, we need to fix it. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. What's wrong is our hearts. And so we need to make sure that we are not led astray by false teachers. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter number 4 and in verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What's the response? Try the spirits. How do you do that? Discernment and wisdom. Now listen, if we're not firmly rooted, and we're not firmly rooted as a Christian, that becomes very hard. And that's why in Ephesians he wrote, be careful that you're not tossed to and fro. Because when that happens, you kind of go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and you're never grounded on the truth of God's word. And so we need to be careful that we're not tossed to and fro. But as he said, try the spirits. Listen, if something is contrary to the word of God, it's false. I was teaching this in Sunday school last week, and we were talking about the will of God. I said, you know, one of the surefire ways to know the will of God, always compare it, or not compare it, but use the word of God. If you feel that God's leading you or directing you to do something, but it violates one principle in the word of God, that is not God's will. Very simple. You say, but you know, I really feel, Remember, the heart is desperately wicked. Not feelings. The will of God, look at his word. And that's what he's saying here. He says, listen, be careful. If something sounds right, go to the word of God. Because you'll know whether it's right or not. Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, if we're being tossed to and fro, one day we believe one thing, the next day we believe something else. You know, I'm so thankful for our pastor. I really am. For so many years, you know, if I have a question, I'll go to him. And there's been times, listen, I'm sure we, you know, most of us in here could testify that there's times, there's difficulties that come up in our life, and it's tough to do the right thing. Doing the right thing is hard. It really is. You know, because in our flesh, we want to take the easy way out. And sometimes the easy way out isn't always doing the right thing. The pastor's always said, listen, just do the right thing and let the Lord take care of it. And we need to be thankful for a pastor who takes that stand. Because listen, there's a lot of people today, hey, I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to make waves. Mm-mm. We need to try the spirits. And if something is wrong, it's wrong. And if something is right, it's right. So we need to be firmly rooted. The second thing I see with this tree by the rivers of water is, listen, if it's going to grow, it needs to be well fed. Now this is something I can definitely preach on. Why do you all laugh? All right, so I enjoy a buffet every once in a while. I don't want to sound unspiritual, but you know, after we leave the prayer van spiritually fed, we make sure we stop along the way and get physically fed. Right, Tom? Amen? But seriously, listen, we need to be well-fed. And I'm not talking physically. We have a world where too large of a percentage of our world is suffering from world hunger. You know what's sadder? Is that we have Christians who are suffering from starvation, spiritually speaking. We have too many Christians that are spiritually starving because we're not feeding on the Word of God. How do we fix that? How do we change that? How do we go in the right direction? If you say, you know, you're right. I really haven't been feeding on the Word of God. Here's one thing. First of all, be desirous. Be desirous. Look at Psalm 119, verse 10. You know, when a tree is in its infant stage, when a baby is young, they need to be fed. They need to be fed. Have you ever seen a baby when they're hungry? They let you know they're hungry. okay? Like clockwork. You will know. One of two things needs to be done. Either they need to be fed or, yes, they need to be changed, okay? But listen, when they eat, listen, have you ever seen baby food? They love it. They desire it. They crave it. They devour it. Listen, is that the hunger we have for the Word of God? Do we crave it? Do we desire it? Are we so excited that we can't get enough of it? That's what God desires for us. Psalm 19 and verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. David said with his whole heart, with everything he had, with his whole being, he desired the Word of God. If we're going to grow and we're going to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, we need to be well fed. Not with snack food, but with a full course meal. Not with fast food and junk food, but with good, healthy, wholesome, nutritious words from God's Bible. That's what we need. Too many times, well, I have a devotional. That's like a snack. Be careful of some of these books, as I mentioned before. That could be like junk food, right? Listen, we have what we need right here. Okay, we have what we need right here. The problem is we're not feeding on it enough. It's like starving to death and you have a refrigerator full of food. We have the Word of God. God says, be desirous. Malcolm Muggeridge said this. I love this quote. People say that the Bible is a boring book. You say, ooh, that's harsh. Listen, I'm sure we've all heard that at some point. He said, people say that the Bible is a boring book, but they don't say that about Shakespeare because the people who teach Shakespeare are zealous for Shakespeare. Hey, are we communicating excitement and joy when we tell others about Christ? When we read the Word of God, are we excited? Do we come into church and say, you're not going to believe what I read this week? When we teach, whether it's at the nursing home, in junior church, in Sunday school, wherever it is, are we thrilled to death to be teaching and preaching the Word of God? Or do we stand there and go, all right, let's turn to Galatians. I shouldn't do that. I just told somebody, that I was telling Pangwani, I said, I'm tired tonight. So I didn't sleep well tonight, and I'm going to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I can't even joke about that because I might just go back and that'll be it. Service over. But serious, are we excited about the Word of God? Are we zealous about it? You know, sometimes people aren't excited about it because we're not excited about it. Listen, I remember when I first got saved, being around people who were always talking about the Word of God. You know what that did? I didn't look at them going, boy, that's weird. You know what I said? Hey, I want to be like that. I want to get involved in those conversations. I have no idea what they're talking about yet, but I want to know what they're saying. And that's the example that we need to set for others. We need to be desirous. The second thing is we need to be consistent. Consistent. Listen, if you feed a baby once a week, that's not going to work. That won't work. Listen, coming to church, very important. Very important. Feeding on the Word of God once a week, that's not going to work. What's the word I'm looking for? The world is in our face everywhere we go. We're exposed to all the influences of the world almost everywhere we go. 1 hour a week of feeding is not going to be enough. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what Paul's warning to Timothy was. Hey, till I come back, I want you to keep reading, I want you to keep exhorting, and I want you to stay in the doctrine. He didn't say anything else. That's what he said. You know what he meant? Every day, keep doing it, because he understood the importance of it. Be consistent. Listen, we need to be consistent in how we feed on the Word of God every day. Not just a prayer advance, not just Sunday morning, every day. Every day we need to meet with the Lord. Be consistent. Be loving. In 1 Peter chapter 5, what do I mean by be loving? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now, I know this is talking about those that are leading, but I think it's an important principle. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Listen, beating people over the head with the word of God is not going to work. Oh, I didn't read my Bible this week. Sinner. Wow, that doesn't work. How about, I can't tell you, you know, as a young Christian, I had people who came up to me and would give me like a couple of sheets of paper, Bible study. Hey, you should try and do this. Okay. And I would do it. I had people encouraging me. Hey, you know what? Read Philippians and we'll talk about it next week. Just out of the blue, not for any purpose other than trying to be a loving example and encourager to me. Hey, we need to do that. Listen, the world is not going to encourage us to read our Bibles. As a matter of fact, we're mocked and ridiculed if we carry our Bible and read it. So we need to encourage one another. Encourage one another lovingly. So be desirous, be consistent, be loving, and finally, be fed appropriately. And I talked a little bit about this before. We need to feed on the milk of the word. Okay, we can listen, you don't give a baby a steak. Okay, that just doesn't work. As I was putting this together, I thought of a story. There was a guy that I used to know many years ago. We used to play softball together. This is probably going back 30 years ago now. We used to play softball together, and he had just had his first baby. The baby was probably two and a half months old. And you know how it is with your first child. You never want to leave them alone. You don't want to have any babysitters. You want to be there till they're 27 years old. You know how that goes. And so he had left his son with I think it was his mom. And him and his wife had gone out. And so he's telling us the story at the softball game, and this had happened the night before, and he's laughing. I said, "What happened?" He says, "Well," he said, "my wife got a little bit of a panic because we left, I forgot the baby's name, with my mom, and she's old school." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, we've just been giving the baby formula. He's just started to get a little bit of baby food." I said, "And?" He said, "My mom said he didn't like that stuff, so she gave him a tamale." So he thought it was funny. His wife didn't think it was so funny. I don't know how it went over. What's the point? Listen, you got to work your way up so the baby's body can accept it, so the baby can grow properly. I mean, I personally like tamales. I don't know how the baby enjoyed it at 3 months old, but she didn't want to hear nothing about it. Listen, we need to feed appropriately on the milk of the word. I've shared with you before. I shared this with my Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago. When I first got saved, I wanted Revelation. Take me right to the end. I want Revelation. It's the exciting book in the Bible, right? Isn't that what we all think? I want to read. Guy said, no. I was like, what do you mean no? I was like, when I read Revelation, he says, no, read Romans. I said, I already read Romans. I want to read Revelation. No. Then I started bargaining with him. I said, well, is there another book I can read? He said, you could read John. I said, no, another one like Revelation. He goes, no. Why? Because there's no way I could have fed on that and have any clue what it meant. And what it would have done is it would have hindered my growth. It would have hindered my growth. So we need to feed appropriately. And by feeding appropriately, we need to feed on the right things. That goes back to the first point. Avoid false doctrine. If you're not sure, you know how you can be sure? Stick to the Bible. Well, I'm not sure about this, but listen, there's a lot of programming on cable today, a lot of quote-unquote religious programming. Be very, very careful. I'm not here to judge any of it, but I can tell you much of it is heresy. You want to be certain. And listen, I get the idea. When I first got saved, I wanted anything I could. Radio and you know, TV and a book and, you know, good music. And I was just trying to get saturated with it. And that's a great thing. But little by little, I started to realize some of the stuff I was watching and listening to, I was like, I don't think so. You know, and as you start to grow, God will give you that discernment. I remember listening to a radio program. I used to listen to it all the time. I said, oh, man, this is good stuff. People would ask questions. And I was like, and somebody asked a question one time about the resurrection of Christ. And I'll never forget the guy sat on the radio and he told the caller, he says, oh, that's an interesting passage. He said, you know, that's the one place in the Bible where there's an error. I was sitting, I was like, my first thought was, he didn't say that. And she says, oh, really? And he says, yeah, that's the one place where the interpretation is not quite correct. So my first thought was, this poor woman, she's listening to it, saying, taking as what he's saying as gospel truth. I said, I feel bad for her, but I'm turning it off. And I never listened to it again. I didn't know any better. I knew that wasn't right. We need to be careful. feed appropriately. Number three, we need to be growing and maturing. As you're planted by the rivers of water, you start to be firmly rooted. You start to feed, and now you start to grow. The more you're fed, the more you grow. That's a principle I understand very well. The more you feed, the more you grow. The Bible tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. Why does God tell us to feed on the word of God? So we could grow. Listen, we shouldn't be at the same place in our Christian life today that we were 10 years ago. We need to be moving forward, pressing on, growing in our faith. If we're not, there's something wrong. Because God doesn't desire for us to stand still. He wants us to move forward. First, we need to be, let's look over to 2 Timothy. Actually, just turn to 2 Timothy first. The first thing is that we need to be avid students of the word of God. We just completed midterms this past week. And it's always an interesting dynamic because we try and prepare our students as best as possible. We review for 3-4 days. And inevitably, there will be some who come in and go, I can't believe I didn't do well. And I'll always ask the first question, which is, how much did you study? And of course, you never get a straight answer. Well, how much did you study? I knew this stuff. How much did you study? I did well on my tests. I said, but you didn't answer my question. I said, well, I reviewed the sheets. And so, you know, little by little, you're getting to where the answer is, and the answer is not hardly at all. Listen, if we're going to be growing and maturing, we need to be avid students of the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God, studying the Scriptures, learning everything that God has for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be in the word of God, studying it, not just reading it as we read a newspaper or magazine, but in the word of God, diving into the word of God. Being an avid student requires a commitment. It requires time. It's a sacrifice, but it's one that, listen, and honestly, let's think about this. If it's something that we really desire and enjoy doing, is it really a sacrifice at all? You know, there's plenty of things that we enjoy. There's hobbies we have, and there's all kinds of things. And if we dedicate 2 hours to doing it, do we even think that that's a sacrifice? The answer is no. We just do it because we love it so much. You know, that's what we need to get. We need to get to the place where, hey, I had 2 hours with the Word of God. I want more. I want to continue to study and grow, but it takes commitment and time. Teddy Roosevelt said, a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Wouldn't it be nice if one of our presidents would say something like that today? Any politician for that matter. A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Be an avid student of the word. Be a prepared student. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Listen, as we grow and mature, God's going to start placing us in situations where, guess what? We can now help others grow. Where we can help others mature in their faith. Where we can help young Christians grow to get to the place where they can then turn around and help someone else. And that's what God desires for us. We need to be prepared students. We need to be prepared because you know what? Sometimes there's going to come a point in time where someone's going to throw a question at us and we're going to be like, wow. And you need to have the wisdom and discernment of God to be able to, you know, it's amazing. I mean, you know, as principal, I have all kinds of different situations. A lot of the people in the school are not believers. They're not Christians. And so, you know, a lot of times people come in, they'll have problems, they'll have questions, they'll have concerns, they'll be mad, whatever. And they have all kinds of things that they bring to you. And you can't always prepare 20 minutes ahead of time to know how you're going to answer. And sometimes people have really serious questions. And you only have that one moment to answer them. We need to be prepared. How do we do that? By studying the Word of God. By studying the Word of God. We need to be avid students of the Word. We need to be prepared students. We need to know who our caretaker is. Listen, very quickly, babies know right away who it is that's taking care of them. Don't they? They know exactly who to go to feed them. Mom or dad. You know, when it's playtime, listen, they'll play with anyone who wants to play with them. But when it's feeding time, they know exactly where to go. Listen, as believers, we know who our caretaker is. Galatians chapter 4. What a great verse. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. You know who's taking care of feeding us? Almighty God. How do I know that? Because he's given us all the food we need. And he cares for us. But let's remember, listen, we read, and sometimes we got to be careful with this, because sometimes we read the Bible and we want to know everything there is to know. But let's remember one thing. God is the one who feeds us, and God is the one who grows us, because the Bible says that we need to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us that we need to grow in grace. It's not about us. It's about what God does in us as we're studying his word, as we're, you know, planted, as we're feeding. Guess what happens? We grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. Listen, if it wasn't for God's grace, where would we be? Where would we be spiritually, positionally? We'd be lost without hope. That's it. Oh, we might have lots of knowledge, but we wouldn't have anything else. That's not hope. Oh, there's people who have hope in their knowledge. It's not going to get them anywhere. Right. People have hope in their riches. Again, not getting them anywhere. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Firmly rooted, well-fed, growing and maturing. You know, once you start to grow and mature, you know what starts to happen to that tree? That tree starts to become hard to move. I know, we had to take down trees. You know, when we first moved into our house, I guess they had planted vines. When they're little, and again, some of you are probably going to laugh, not being a gardener of any kind growing up in New York City, you just don't see any of this. So when we moved to Jersey, I see these vines, and they're hideous, and they're ugly, and I learned two lessons. One, I learned very quickly what poison ivy is. I had no idea what poison ivy was. I figured it would have a sign that said poison ivy. It didn't. So after working for 3 hours to remove this stuff, the next day I woke up and both of my arms were swollen like this. I thought I was dying. I didn't know what it was. So I learned that lesson. The second lesson is, you know, vines are very deceiving. I figured, I'll just pull this thing out. Well, I started here. I ended up on the other side of the yard still pulling this thing. Listen, once a tree starts to grow, it isn't easily toppled over. Listen, Christian, as you start to feed on the Word of God and you start to mature and grow, guess what? You're not going to be knocked over easily anymore. And there's a world out there and a devil who wants nothing more than to knock you down. Once those roots start to take hold, you know what happens? You can withstand the storms a lot stronger. You plant a tree, a week later you have a hurricane, I don't think that tree's lasting. You let that tree grow for a year or two, you have a hurricane, you know what? There's a much better chance that tree's going to stand up to it. Listen, there's storms in life that come all the time. And the stronger, the more we grow, the more we feed, the closer, the more we mature, the better chance we have of holding up during those storms of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. Of these things, that's chapter 2, sorry, 14. Here we go. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's mature, throughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, he says, continue. A tree whose roots have withered away and weakened, the first time a wind comes by, it topples over. Listen, if we've allowed our roots to get weak and withered because we're not feeding on the Word of God, let's start. Let's strengthen those roots. Listen, when a tree is dead, it's dead. Listen, Christian, we can always start feeding on the Word of God, and we plant ourselves, we firmly root ourselves, we start to feed, we grow, we mature, and guess what? When the devil's attacks come, we're more able to withstand them. Number one, we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. If we're going to be hard to move, we need to have consistency in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's consistency. Hey, everything you've heard of me, you keep doing it, and you tell others to keep doing it, and you tell others to keep doing it, and so on and so on and so on. Be consistent. Have consistency. Be confident. You know, when you start to, when your roots are strong and those storms of life come and those challenges and those trials come, you know what you could do? You can stand confident because you know who your God is. You know what the Word of God says. You know what the promises of God says, and you can continue. You can be committed. You can stay going forward. You can be courageous and stand in the face of those storms. Numbers chapter 23. You say, well, what does that mean? Listen, as you start to read the promises contained in the Word of God, it's exciting. It encourages you. But you know what it does? It reassures you. God is still on the throne. God hasn't stopped being on the throne. God hasn't stopped being in control. And there isn't anything that the devil's going to do that's going to change that. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Listen, if God says it, it's so. Period. That's it. Oh, the world will say, yeah, Listen, there's mockers out there and scoffers all over the place. Guess what? There was mockers and scoffers in Bible times too. And you saw what the end was for them. And listen, we don't have to worry about all the people that mock and that scoff and laugh at the Word of God and mock God, because you know what? We know the truth. We don't need to be discouraged by what they say. Because we have the truth. We have the words of life right here. And so we can be confident. We can live consistently and we can live confidently. Why? Because we know what God has said and we know it's going to come to pass. The last thing is be resolute, or resoluteness. Be resolute. You know what that means? There's going to be times when you want to quit. There's going to be times when you're like, man, I've knocked on 100 doors. My knuckles are bleeding and nobody wants to talk to me. Press on. There's times when you say, I'm tired. I'm worn out. You know, sometimes we have a pity party for ourselves. Nobody else is doing it. Doesn't matter. Press on. Be resolute. Psalm 71. Sorry, I'm moving a little quick, but I promised I would be done on time, so I'm doing everything I can. I think that clock is too fast. Psalm 71, and in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. You know, isn't it a great thing, you know, that when young children learn the Word of God, that they can still remember those verses 30 years later? It's an amazing thing. They will, like this, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. You never forget. And listen, we can, in the face of those storms of life, we can stand. And when those times of doubt come, and when the devil says, you know what, it's been a long week, it's one Sunday service, who really cares? Sunday school's not that big of a deal. Get the extra hour rest. Listen, the devil will try every trick in the book to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I'm here to tell you that every opportunity you have to hear the Word of God preached, to hear the Word of God taught, you need to be there. Be resolute, because there's going to be those storms. And if you want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, and you want to be someone who's hard to move, you got to grow and mature in your faith. Let's move on. After the tree is hard to move, what's the next thing that starts to happen? That thing starts to be grown, and guess what? It's now easily seen. You're easily seen. Now, I say this not because I think we need to, you know, show everybody how good we are and what great Christians we are. But listen, as you start to shine forth as a light in a dark world, as you start to mature, as you face the storms. Listen, when you face storms of life and you can withstand those storms, people take notice. I was amazed as a young Christian at the number of people who were going through tragedies, and in the face of tragedies, sat in church, worshiping the Lord, praising God, always had a smile, always had joy on their face. And I thought, how in the world do they do this? It takes maturity. It takes feeding on the Word of God. It takes trials to test us. But guess what? People notice. And you know what? That's it. That the Bible tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. And in verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The first thing I see that he says here is, it's time to do what? Awake. That means get up. Listen, too many Christians are sitting on the sidelines. It's time to get up. We've allowed this world to dictate what we can and cannot do. We're losing our freedoms every single day, and we do nothing about it. I'm not saying we go out there and start a war, but listen, it's time that we wake up. We got to get up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. In verse 11, he even says, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Listen, if we don't wake up now with everything that's happening around us in this world, we're never getting up. We won't. We need to awake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The devil wants us to sleep. He wants us sitting down, relaxing, not being vigilant and sober and watchful, because that's when he can attack. As a tree matures, it becomes more prominent. You start to see it more. Listen, we need to let our light shine. The world is not going to lead the world to Jesus Christ. The Christian has to do that. How's that going to happen? By letting our light so shine. The second thing I see back in Romans is he says, the night is far spent. Now in verse 13, he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. The next thing he says is you need to prepare. In other words, there's things we need to put off. Listen, we carry around way too much baggage that God never intended for us to carry around. We carry around too much baggage that God never intended for us to carry around. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, weights could be anything. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a bad thing. We can weigh ourselves down with things that aren't even necessarily bad. We need to put those things off. Put them off. And then the last thing he says is, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? We need to be empowered to do the work. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. If we are going to grow to the place where now we can be easily seen, where now we are letting our light shine before men, you know what that means? You're in the crosshairs. Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're right in Satan's crosshairs. You're like, oh, I really believe that many people don't want to do that because they're afraid of that. And listen, I understand that, but I also understand who our God is. If you're not afraid of the devil, then there's something wrong. We should be to a certain point, okay? Because he is a mighty adversary. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him, not because of who we are. Every day that goes by, something else breaks down. Went to the doctor, need new glasses. Oh, your eyes are a little worse. You're at that age. I don't even know what that means. I mean, when I get to be 60, is my ear falling off? I don't know what any of that means, but there's an age. I don't know. Okay, but listen, it's not in my strength, it's not in my power, it's in his power and his strength that we can have victory. Listen, don't take the devil lightly, but don't cower in fear, because we need to let our light shine. Once you let your light shine and you become prominent, the last thing is we bear fruit. And that's what God desires for us to do. We're not going to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives the admonition of how you could tell a false teacher and someone who's preaching heresy. You know what he says? You shall know them by their fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, where an evil tree bears evil fruit or bad fruit. Listen, we will be known by our fruit. There's two types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5. Listen, you can't put that stuff on. Love, joy, peace. You could try, but it's way too much effort. You know what? If you grow in your faith and you mature in your faith and you go through those trials that you can withstand, that God gives you the strength, and all of a sudden you're letting your light so shine, you know what's going to happen? The fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest itself in your life. You don't have to try and put it on. God's grace working in us will show forth the fruits of the Spirit. And the other fruit is the fruit of lost souls. We may never know the people that we have the opportunity to lead to the Lord, but just plant the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed. Wow, they're not listening. That's okay. Sow the seed. They've ripped up the track. Sow the seed. Keep sowing the seed. Our responsibility is not the results. That God takes care of that. Our responsibility is to be obedient to the Great Commission, sow the seed. Go ye therefore. Go and sow. That's what our responsibility is. So what's the conclusion? If you go back to Psalm and then we're done, Psalm chapter 1, he concludes by saying this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, because of the seasons in New Jersey, when it gets cold, there is nothing out there to look at. It's just sticks, a trunk and sticks. Now, when spring comes around, those trees bloom. Some of them have nice colors and things like that. You know what he's saying here? Listen, your leaf will not wither. That means year-round, when you're planted by the river of waters, you will always, always, always have those green leaves on your tree. And when we're constantly feeding in the Word of God, listen, there may be difficult times, but we won't encounter those quote-unquote dry seasons. Say, well, sometimes I read the Word of God. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it. Stay in the Word of God. I'll leave you with these two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, anything you do for the Lord with the right spirit and the right heart is not vain. Say, well, I don't feel like, don't worry about what you feel. Our feelings will deceive us. I'm trusting God's Word. And the next verse is in Jeremiah 17:8. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters," sound familiar? "And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Listen, when we are like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and we're feeding every day on the Word of God, you know those times of heat, they won't even affect you. You know those times of drought? It won't even have an impact on you. You know why? Because you're grounded, firmly rooted, well-fed, hard to move, letting our light so shine, and God will strengthen. You know why? Because you're rooted in the one who saved you. That's all there is to it. Listen, it's not up to us. You plant a tree in the ground, that ground may or may not give, but Jesus Christ will never give. Jesus Christ will hold us and keep us and never let us go. That's why it's so important that we constantly stay in God's holy word. Amen. All right. Let's look at our prayer sheet. We need to be